Greetings to our listeners. We are delighted to have you join us for another inspiring sermon immersed in the teachings of Christ. As we gather today, open your hearts to the timeless wisdom found in Scripture. Our prayer is that this time, together, will be a source of encouragement, growth, and a deepening of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
John Agagwa is my name. I serve as one of the pastors here, and I'm very glad to be bringing the Word of God to us. I am married happily to one wonderful Elizabeth, and together we have been blessed with, wait for it, two children. Yeah. Brief explanation. One of them is hard copy. The other one is soft copy child. So the soft copy child will be coming soon. So we are really grateful to God for that. Looking forward to that. Yeah, I shall be a father again, twice. Okay, this church, your pastors take the scripture seriously. Bible says to multiply and fill the earth. So Ted, then me, then probably Ted again, then me. It's just okay, yeah. Our wives will be in the crash for a while. Today, I was given the freedom by the leadership to pick a sermon of my choosing. And since I am going to be preaching, I thought I should title this sermon. So I'm going to be preaching a sermon on how to listen to a sermon. So, are you ready? As ready as can be. Well, since this year began, we have already had 9 sermons. Here's a good question. How much of your life choices and activities and responses to life situations in just these 9 weeks have been informed by those sermons? In other words, how much change have the 9 sermons we've had since the year began, how much change have they produced in your life? Maybe even a better question is, for those of you who have been members and congregants of this church for a while, how much have the sermons you've been hearing changed your life? See, a startling reality throughout the scriptures is that not all who hear the word of God are transformed by it. The tragic truth is that some who sit Sunday after Sunday, week after week, hearing the word of God, sometimes go unchanged by it. Consider the parable that Jesus told of the sower, and he gave us different soils. The difference between the soils was not in the seed that was put in the soils. In his explanation, Jesus reveals that the difference was in how they handled the word. Beloved, the difference between those who hear to bear fruit and those who don't bear fruit is not so much in what they hear, but rather in how they hear. And hence we get the title of our sermon from Jesus' admonition to the disciples in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. And it says, "Take heed therefore how you listen." The question before us today is this: what kind of listening bears fruit? And how can we attain to that kind of listening? So I have 3 points. The first one is, I think we need to listen with a prepared heart. We need to listen with a prepared heart. Secondly, we need to listen with an attentive heart. We need to listen with an attentive heart. And thirdly, we need to listen with an obedient heart. The listening that bears fruit is the one that comes from a heart that is prepared, a heart that is attentive, and a heart that is obedient. You see, when you think about a sermon, how you listen to a sermon is informed firstly by what your attitude and thoughts are concerning who you are listening to. How do you listen with a prepared heart? If you're going to listen with a prepared heart, it means that you're going to have to think about and expect who are you going to be listening to when you get to church. You see, as you prepare to come to church, the question is, who are you coming to meet? From whom are you coming to hear? Jesus once asked the Jews that when you went out into the desert to see John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? And that's a good question to ask us when we come to the house of God. An answer is given us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And Paul's admonition to this church, he said, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God." Paul is immediately informing us that there are two ways to listen to a sermon. You can listen to a sermon and to the preaching of the scriptures as though you are listening to men, or you could listen the instructions given as you're listening to a sermon as though you are listening to God. The commendation of the church in Thessalonica is that they listened to the words of Paul, not as the words of men, but as the very words of God. It is possible, therefore, according to Paul, to adopt an attitude where we are coming to listen to men and to the opinions of men. If you adopt such an attitude, much of your thinking as you come to church will be, I wonder to myself, who is preaching today? Is it Reverend Agagwa? Is it Reverend Mwangi? Is it Pastor Charles? Is it, Bishop Charles? Is it Pastor Kadu? You will be caught up in who's bringing the word. But the scripture says that if you are to see beyond the preacher, you are willing and able by the authority of scripture to say that it is not a mere man that is going to be speaking to me. To the extent that they are faithful to the text, it is the very words of God. Beloved, it is possible to be caught up in men as opposed to seeing the word of God for what it really is. And so Paul is encouraged that these Bereans received the word of God for what it really is, and they accepted it. It means they embraced it. They welcomed it into their lives as the very word of God. And so here is a question. What is your attitude in the Sunday sermon? Are you listening as though you're listening to the words of God? Or are you listening as though you're listening to the words of men? You see, if you're listening as though you're listening to the words of men, you often get caught up in the small things that don't really matter. I didn't like that preacher today. Why? Because he doesn't know how to spell the word midst. How did he spell it? Midst. If you don't know, the preacher I'm talking to about is Reverend Mwangi. But that's not the point. The point is, don't get caught up in those small, tiny things. Behind his Kerenyaga pronunciation of midst is the very word of God. You see, God doesn't want you and I coming into the church with unprepared hearts. If we are coming to hear, beloved, truly from the monarch of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, is it not in order that we come carefully, slow to speak and quick to listen, our hearts adopting the posture that recognizes we are going before the living God of the universe? And so how do we prepare our hearts for such an encounter? The scripture is replete with verses to instruct us. Number one, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He says, "Rid yourself of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the spiritual word of God." God is insisting that if our hearts are going to be prepared to hear him, we must first lay aside malice and wickedness. There is a preparation of holy living that needs to precede holy hearing. James chapter 1 verse 21 says the same thing. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Until we have laid aside wickedness, we are not ready recipients for the word of God. And therefore, your preparation for coming to hear God's word on Sunday does not begin on Sunday morning when you enter the shower. It begins during the week as you live in a holy way, living in repentance and laying aside wickedness and confessing your sin, preparing your heart, living in such a way as to demonstrate you are going to welcome the holy word of God. And so here's a question to you, beloved. What is the nature of your life from Monday to Saturday? Are you living holy in preparation for the word of God? Are you preparing your heart? Or are you like what the language today calls them, a Sunday Christian? And so the way that we prepare our hearts, firstly, is by holy living. And this is the need for repentance. But it is also by prayer. God calls us to pray, fast for ourselves. Before you come to church, consider praying for yourself. Praying for what? Pray that God will give you understanding to the message, that God will help you see beyond the preacher, that God will help you discern the very word of God, that God will remove the worries that weigh down on your heart and remove the distractions that often surround us. Pray that God will grant you a willing and a humble heart to heed to everything that He will command you. Pray that your heart will be sensitive to the Spirit's conviction and that you will respond without reservation. Pray for your family members and other members of the church that will be gathered, that as much as God will be moving in your heart, He will also be at work in their hearts. We prepare our hearts by praying for ourselves. Before we have prayed for ourselves, our hearts are not ready to receive the words of the King of the universe. But it is not just ourselves we must pray for. We must also pray for the preacher, pray for the pastor that God has prepared for that particular Sunday to bring God's word to you. In as much as it is true, it is the very word of God. It is coming through fallible preachers, preachers that can be wrong, preachers that can err. And so they need to be commended to God in prayer. And pray that the pastor will be faithful to the scriptures. Pray that the unction of God will rest upon them and that every word they speak will be weighty. That the blessing that was there in the days of Samuel, that the scripture says he let none of his words fall to the ground, will rest upon the present day pastor so that his words will come to you with weight. Pray that the pastor will bring forth great insight and teaching from the scriptures. Pray that he will be measured in his words. He will not be unnecessarily offensive and therefore lose some part of the congregation. Pray that God will give him the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge so that as he preaches, he will use illustrations that actually could be prophetic insights into the lives of the congregation. It is your duty and your responsibility to pray for those that God has ordained to bring the ministry of the word. Pray that your pastor will not be distracted in the week, especially leading to his preaching. Pray for him, if he is a husband like me, that his wife will not decide in that week to tell him, we need to talk. There is an application there for pastors' wives, by the way. Don't tell your husband we need to talk on the day and the week that he is preaching. You know, C.H. Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time, he said, he was asked once, why has your ministry been so effective? Spurgeon said, my preaching has been effective because my congregation prays for me. Gardner Spring, another pastor, said, if the people are looking for rich sermons from their minister, their prayers must supply him with the needed materials. Beloved, something great happens when a prepared congregation meets a prepared pastor. But oftentimes I fear that much preparation goes behind the pulpit and so little preparation in the pews. Would you determine going forward that you will purpose to prepare for the service in prayer? And I recommend this especially on Saturday night. Instead of binging Netflix, How about you read the scriptures and meditate on the word and gather your family and say, these are the things you're going to pray about as we prepare for service tomorrow. If you do those things, one of the things that will happen in your heart is an eagerness, an expectation, because God will create an appetite, a hunger in your heart to come to receive the word. We see this in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to 11. He says, as soon as it was night, the brothers set Paul and Silas off to Berea. On arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, verse 11. And the people there were more noble than those in Thessalonica, since they welcomed the message with eagerness. They welcomed the message with eagerness, with expectant hearts. This was the same admonition that Peter gives us in 2 Peter chapter 2 that we read. He said, long, expect, be expectant, desire the milk of the word. This means to eagerly and expectantly desire the word of God. Do you consider the very words that we are coming to hear? The very words of God. These are the words that created the seen and unseen realms, the words by which all things were made, without which nothing is made that was made. These are the same words of which the scripture says, by them Jesus holds fast to the universe. These are the words by which the God of all the universe rules. These are his laws, the wisdom by which the world was made. Shall we come to such words with little or no expectation? God forbid. In these words are contained his plans and purposes for your life and mine. And the Bible says that his thoughts of us are as many as the sands of the sea. What kind of thoughts? Thoughts to do us good and not evil. And how shall we know them? How shall we hold fast to them unless we come with ready, expectant hearts? Dearly beloved, your God speaks to you. Hear him expectantly. The scripture lets us know that God does not gather his people in vain. Because he has gathered you, he has a word for you. He intends to meet you at the point of need. And so you can come to the house of God expecting not to meet a pastor, but expecting to meet with a living God. It amazes me that oftentimes a lot of saints come to church. Let me put it better. A lot of saints come to the house of God, and the last person they expect to meet there is God. Haven't you even heard our language? Sometimes when we sense and experience God in a service, we go home and say, hey, you will not imagine what happened today. God moved. In his house, it was the equivalent of me going and telling my friend, you know, I went to Reverend Kadu's house. You will not imagine who I met there. Guess. Reverend Kadu. Why should it surprise us that God moves in his house? Beloved, let us make the practice of preparing our hearts for public worship. If our hearts are not prepared, even the best of preaching will do no good. And so we listen with a prepared heart, but we also listen with an attentive heart. You see, it is wonderful to be expectant and to be prepared, but it is only great because it causes us to be attentive. If we are really expectant from the Lord, we will harness all our attention's capacity to listen and to hear the scriptures. We must be attentive in the service. And this attentiveness is not to start just at the preaching time. It is to start throughout the service. This is one of the reasons that we recommend and highly encourage you to beat all the logistical preparations to be able to come here on time. Because God is present when his people gather. That may mean for those of us international members, by whom I mean you come from Rongai, you might need to start traveling on Friday. So that you're here in good time. So that as the service begins and we are singing the music, you participate in the music. You participate in the corporate prayer. You participate in the giving. You participate in the sermon. Why? Because, beloved, That music time is the word of God sung. The prayer time is the word of God prayed. The giving time is the word of God obeyed. The sermon is the word of God proclaimed. The entire service is centered around the word of God. And no person ever truly and truly encountered the word of God and failed to encounter God himself. For therein in his word is God himself. Coming to church, therefore, means that you must pay utmost attention to the word of God. Consider the example that's given us in Nehemiah's time in chapter 8, verse 3. And he read from the book of the law, facing the square before the water gate, from an early morning till midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. He says, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Beloved, from what time? From 6 a.m. daybreak to noon. I've heard some of you complain, our services are too long. Ask Kina Nehemiah. They started at 6 and they went all the way to 12. And the scripture doesn't say that they were listening and fidgeting about it. No, they listened attentively. They were not looking at their watch to see which point is this and what time is it. And if he took 20 minutes on the first point and he said he has 4 points, Kwisha Sisi, cancel our afternoon engagement. No, they were attentive because they were before the very words of God. Beloved, the sermon time, the service time, is not the time to nudge your neighbor and make light banter. That's not that time. God doesn't want you at that time to do a mental to-do list for when the service ends. It is not the time to look around and to check your social media and to update this and that. It is not the time to take your weekly nap. And by the way, I will let you know that weekly naps have killed before. Ask Eutychus. This is not the time to think about the matters that ail our nation. You're there, the preacher is trying to bring the word of God, and the thought predominant in your mind is lack of capital, pests and diseases, soil erosion. No, pay attention. And it actually helps if you look like you're paying attention. That is not a point in my sermon. It just helps the preacher. You know, there are people I decided long ago when I started preaching in this church, I will not look at them when I'm preaching. I just made a mental note. If you want to know whether, you ask me after the service, I'll tell you. Consider the admonition of the author of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to the things that we have heard. The Spirit is cautioning these believers that unless they pay attention, they will drift away. Unless you focus yourself and listen and bring your attention here, you will drift away. And one of the reasons that many of us don't get as much from the sermon as we would is because we have refused to harness our powers of attention. And it seems to me from the scriptures that God is often unwilling to speak to his people unless they are first paying attention. Don't you remember in the story of Samuel when he was a boy in the temple and the scripture says the Lord spoke and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel woke up and he ran to Eli. And Eli said, I didn't call you. And he went back to sleep. And the Lord said again, Samuel, Samuel. And he repeats the same thing until finally the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And it was only then when Samuel, in essence, said, Lord, you have my attention, that God began to speak. Is it possible that the reason you haven't heard from God, that the sermons haven't ministered to you as much, is because you have not been paying attention? How can you hear the word of God if you're hearing the sermon as rumors? You know the people who hear the sermon as rumors? They were sleeping and then people laughed and they woke up and said, what did he say? What did he say? What you are hearing is not the sermon, is the rumor of the sermon that your neighbor has told you. Beloved, this is one of the reasons that Satan fights to take your mind off of the church so that he can steal the word and not allow it to penetrate your heart so that it can bear fruit. This is also one of the reasons that we have to pray that God will keep our minds here and give us attention. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Give attention, the scripture says, to my words. And so here's my question to you. Do you pay attention in the service? Are you actively participating in the aspects of the service? Are you paying attention to the preaching? And lastly, listen with an obedient heart. You see, if you have prepared and you have listened eagerly, attentively, there's still one more thing. The pastor at this point has finished preaching. Like at this point in the message, not me. I've not finished. I'm still in this message. At this point, the pastor has finished preaching, but is that the end of fruitful listening? Emphatically, no. Faithful hearing does not end when the sermon ends. After the sermon, really, is the real goal of listening is realized. If we listened with prepared hearts and expectant hearts and attentive hearts and we were listening to God, the reason is so that we were able to do the word of God. And the only way that is possible is if we first of all listen humbly. The only way our hearts can be obedient listeners, the only way we can be obedient listeners in our hearts is if we listen humbly. Consider James chapter 1 verse 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness. He says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. He says, receive with meekness. You see, if it is the very word of God, the King of all creation, it goes without saying that we are to receive it as the servants of the King with meekness and humility. Part of what this means is a willingness to let the scriptures and the preaching correct us. Sometimes the preacher will bring out an issue that is an issue in your life. And in humility, God expects that you will take it to heart. The Bible says that the wise love correction. That is what is humble listening. You see, it's possible to adopt a haughty heart. It is possible to adopt a haughty, prideful heart when you're listening to the message from God. And one of the ways that you know that your heart is inclined or is being tempted in the way of haughtiness is that oftentimes, proud people don't listen to receive. They listen to evaluate. They sit and they evaluate the preacher. In fact, this is dressing. They sit and they evaluate the preacher. They are looking at his style. They know too much. They have listened to some televangelist somewhere. They said, in fact, I've had that same passage preached. There are so many things in there you've not brought out. They are not listening with a meek heart. Beloved, do not be a haughty, proud listener. The scripture has not called us to sit down and evaluate the word. The scripture has called us to sit down and let the word evaluate us. And sometimes, even sadly, I found out that some parents criticize the message and the pastor in front of their children when they are driving home. You couldn't do your children a greater disservice. And you wonder why sometimes they grow up and they don't have a respect for God or for the things of God, but they grew up listening to their parents speaking ill of the pastor and the preacher. And they figured, because I appreciate my parent and I think my parent is a reasonable person, then it means that there is nothing good about preaching and preachers. Beloved, are you a humble listener of the word preached? And once the word has been preached faithfully, that means the preacher has read the text, expounded the text, applied the text. Now the ball moves from his court to yours. You must now, by the preaching, renew your mind, reorder your affections, change your lifestyle in accordance with the preached word. Would you consider the words of James the Apostle? He said in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." James says that it is possible for you to hear the word but not hear it obediently. And the truth is this, that it is not the profoundness of a sermon that changes. It is not the thought-provoking nature of a sermon that changes. It is not even the eloquence of a sermon that changes. The thing that changes about the sermon is our ability to embrace it in our hearts and to put it to practice in our lives. And you see, as long as we don't do that, we can be recipients of many great sermons and still have our lives unchanged. James says, beware of being a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. James is recognizing that it is possible to hear the word and to be deceived. What does it mean to be deceived? It means, you know, one of the things that happen to us when we sit in the presence of God like this and we are hearing the message, we sense his presence, we sense his power that is engrafted into his word, and it is possible for us to leave the service feeling like we have been changed and that we have grown. And we wait for next Sunday when we shall be changed again and then we shall grow again. The problem with that is that James says, you're deceiving yourself. That if only you hear and you don't practice it, he says you are self-deceived. You might think that you are growing. You might feel like you are growing. You might even tell others I've made a lot of progress. But unless you're putting the word to work, James says, we deceive ourselves. You see, the real test of how we hear the sermon is not so much in the sermon. It is after the sermon. Will we hear obediently? Or shall we be like the people in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 30? He says, as for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and the doors of their houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that he has brought from the Lord. Verse 31, my people come to you, Ezekiel. Let's call him Pastor Ezekiel here. Not like this one, Pastor Ezekiel, this one of the Bible. As they usually do, and sit before you to hear your words. He says, but they do not put them to practice. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them to practice. The scripture is saying that the people in the days of Ezekiel, they will sit down and they would listen. And after that, they would say, Ezekiel, that was a very thought-provoking sermon. But the only thing the sermon would provoke is their thoughts. But it will not provoke their lives and their actions and their deeds. Beloved, the best sermons of all are useless if we do not put them to practice. The power of God's word to transform is found not just in the hearing, but it is to be found in the doing. Little wonder Jesus said, blessed are you when you know these things, if you do them. So are you listening humbly with an obedient heart to the word of God? If you're listening humbly with an obedient heart to the word, you will see that the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is true. That the scripture says it has been given to us for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you've been listening with an attentive heart, with a prepared heart, with an obedient heart, after the service you should have practical takeaways and say, how has this rebuked me? How has this corrected me? How has this trained me in righteousness? How has this taught me and instructed me in the doctrines of Christ? James is telling us that if we practice this hearing, the message, and don't do it, it is of no benefit to us whatsoever. Little wonder in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, he says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached to them was of no value because they did not mix it with faith. Oh, what a sad thing it would be if we continue to hear sermon after sermon, but do not put it to practice, and therefore be as these that are recorded in the book of Hebrews, of whom the Lord shall say, "The word, my word went forth to them, but it was of no value to them." Not because the word of God was not powerful, but because the hearts were not prepared. They were not attentive. They were not obedient. In conclusion, what would happen if we would listen to the word of God with prepared hearts, with expectant hearts, with obedient hearts? Oh, beloved, properly attended to, the word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. This is the word that made all things, without which nothing that was made. I am greatly encouraged by the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 20, where the scripture says, "In the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." When they listened to the word of God with prepared hearts, when they listened to the word of God with attentive hearts, when they listened to the word of God with obedient heart, the scripture says it so mightily grew and prevailed. It prevailed over sin. It prevailed over unbelief. It prevailed over selfishness and unforgiveness. It prevailed over fear. It prevailed over doubt. It prevailed over their weaknesses. Beloved, if we will humble ourselves and listen attentively to the word of God and obediently to the word of God, it will prevail. Josiah heard the word in his days, and they were cut to the heart, and revival broke out. Ezra heard the word in his day, and they were cut to the heart, and revival broke out. If we take heed how we hear, God will impart faith into our hearts, and he will cause the scriptures to do that which he has called the scriptures to do. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 55. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not back, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, and it may, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." The word of God is what we need. The purposes of God will be accomplished by the word of God. Have you not seen it in the scriptures? Even when we were facing our direst need, and that is our need for forgiveness, our need for reconciliation to our holy God despite our sin, the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us." It is that Word that lived among us. It is that Word that was crucified. It is that Word that was buried. It is that Word that rose again. It is that Word that sits on the right hand of the Father. Beloved, when God was to solve our greatest human problem, he sent forth his word, and he has not changed today. When we face our difficulties in life, when we face our problems in life, the only solution God has for you and I is to send forth his word. Have you not read it in the scriptures? The Bible says, when they were in trouble, they called out to the Lord their God, and he sent forth his word, and he healed them. The question is not whether the word of God is able to accomplish what God sends it to do. The question is whether you and I will listen obediently, humbly, expectantly, and attentively to his word. Oh, beloved, how we respond to the word is thus a matter of life and death. It is a matter of eternal life or eternal damnation. So I'd like to conclude with the words of our Lord Jesus. "Let he who has an ear hear what the Spirit says." May the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening in on today's sermon from Mamlaka Hill Chapel. We trust that the Word of God has touched your heart and inspired you through this sermon. If you have any questions, prayer requests, or if you'd like to connect further with our community, please visit our website at mamlakahillchapel.org. You are not alone. We are here to support you on your spiritual walk. Now may the peace of God accompany you throughout your week. Until we meet again, stay blessed and rooted in the love of Christ.